very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Okay, so for this part, we know that David is running away from, he's hiding from Saul. Saul wants to kill him because God has anointed him to be the next king of Israel, and he basically doesn't like it. So here we have the first one. Here it says, so here Samuel dies, the prophet, and basically David is just, he's hiding in the countryside. Okay, we see that there's a man here. His name is Nabal. So it says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. Okay, so here we get the two first characters of the story. We have David, that he's in the wilderness, hiding from Saul. We have Nabal, which basically his name means foolish. And we have this wonderful character in the Bible that's called, named Abigail. Now, the Bible here describes her as intelligent and beautiful. And intelligent, we all know, it's like when someone's intelligent, they have a lot of wisdom. They know how to react in between like certain circumstances. And we all know what the beginning of wisdom is, right? We find in Proverbs 9:10 where it says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One resulted in good judgment. And this is what we will see through Abigail's performance in this story, okay? So first of all, Abigail's name means father is joy. So can you imagine all the parents that have here daughters? If your daughter would be like, it says here, father is joy. And I'm pretty sure her father was joy because of her, because she was born. Can you imagine having your daughter with this harsh, angry husband? Wouldn't it hurt you? I'd be like, oh man, like, I raised her in such a beautiful way. She's such a beautiful woman, and now she has that husband. Like, so it's really hard. So the verse tells us that Nabal lived in Maon, and his business was in Carmel. Now have in mind that Carmel was where Saul edified or erected his statue in his honor. So we can see that from the beginning, he starts like, he does business where Saul is, so he might be a Saul supporter in this part, okay? Now let's read the next verse. It's going to be 4-8. So it's that. There you go. Let me read it from here. Then David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your household, and peace be to all you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers now. Now your shepherds have been with us and we have not insulted them, nor they have missed anything of all these days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at your hand, your servants, and to your son, David. So we see in this part that he's actually, like, he's requesting. It's really nice how it's like a polite request of like, hey, you know what? Your shepherds have been here in the wilderness. We've been taking care of them. No one has robbed them. No one has done anything bad to them. Wouldn't it be fair for you to give us like something? Because we are in need here. And we come in a festive day. We see here that it's a really like, it's a really nice way to ask for something. Because if it weren't for David and his men, they probably would have been robbed. There is no threat here, okay? So basically it resumes, and would you be good to us since we were good to you? Would you be kind to us since we were kind to you? Now let's see what, after this, Nabal says. Verse 9 to 10. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited, but Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is this David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. So we see immediately that harsh heart, that man that is simply not happy. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us have encountered these kind of people in our lives. And you know, like you go jolly, happy, like, hey, good morning. Like, especially since I work in the, I help out customers and everything, you find a little bit of everything. So you find the nice people, and then you find the like, hey, like, hi, good morning, and they don't even shake your hand. I don't shake hands. Okay, no problem. How can I help you out? Like, I'm looking for a car. I'm like, okay, remember, you came to me for me to help you. So it's like, you always find these people, and you see that here, Nabal is that harsh man, that man that's not easy to deal with. And we see here that he says, who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse? Well, they never said he was son of Jesse. So apparently he knew kind of sort of who was David. We have to have in mind that everyone knew at that time that Saul was looking for David. Okay, so he might have known who he was. Followed by this, Nabal says, there are many servants today who are breaking away from his master. Now it sounds like he's calling David a slave, right? It sounds like, hey, like maybe he's a slave. He's just running from Saul. He should be under Saul's power. But wouldn't that be like really offensive? It's like, come on, Nabal, be nice. We have to have in mind that Nabal had his business in Carmel. So as I said, most likely he was a Saul supporter in this part, okay? Let's read the next verse. It says verse 11 to 13. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I don't know? So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. David said to his men, each of you gird on a sword. So each man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with baggage. So we see here that there were a lot of people. There were almost 600 people with David. And we see his temper. It reminded me of high school. Like when I was doing my own thing, someone was like, oh, did you hear what this guy said about you? Are you going to let him say that? I'm like, oh, no. Where is he? It's like, it sounds like David, like right now, he's like, okay, he said that? Oh, okay. Everyone, grab your sword. Let's go kill this guy. It's like, it's really hard. It's really easy to do the first thing that comes to your mind when someone offends you. I remember a week ago, one of my friends, I consider him my friend, at work, I was having my lunch, and I was eating, and then all of a sudden, I feel like a slap on my shoulder, like a hard slap, like everyone was having lunch in the break room, and they stopped, and they looked towards me, and I feel this hard slap from my friend, and he was like, sorry, bro, you had a spider. I'm like, are you, you had a spider on your shoulder. I'm like, was that necessary, that hard of a slap? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not say anything. Please breathe, Christian. Don't say anything what you're thinking to tell to him. Like, okay. I just gave him the face. You know that face that your wife gives you or your mom? You know that face. So I just gave him the face, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I didn't say anything. I just kept on. So it's really hard, but it takes like your self-control to react in a good way and be like, okay, you did this to me, and I'm just going to breathe and let it pass. But we can do it. So let's keep on reading. So let's go to next verse. Okay, so let me see. I think so. No, it's not working. 11, 13. No, let's jump to that. That's okay. Let me read the next verse. So the next verse is going to be 14. I read 11 to 13, 14 to 22. Okay. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. And we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day. All the while we were in the keeping, while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, and five sheep already prepared, and 5 seeds of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on the donkeys. And then she said to her young man, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Okay, so we see immediately her reaction. We see that the men here in this part, they say, they were like a wall to us. We are really grateful. They protected us during day and night. They didn't do nothing to us. We should be like eternally grateful. And this reminded me, like in Ecuador, in my country, like when we would go to church, we'd park the cars on the streets. So there were people there that would take care of your car, you know, just in case someone would hit your car, or sometimes try to steal something from your car. And when you left church, you would come back and, you know, give them 25 cents, give them a dollar. It was something to be, like, grateful. It's like, they didn't have, like, hey, you have to give me, like, $5. It's like, no. You would just have to, in order to be grateful, like, hey, thank you for taking care of my car. Here you go. Here's your quarter. Here's you go. Whatever you need, okay? So it reminded me of that. It was just. David's request was really just in this part. Now, let's reread verse 17, okay? Let's read it slowly. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. And he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. It takes a lot of care for someone who doesn't necessarily care for you. So it takes a lot. We see here that when they are telling that to Abigail, it's like, our master is at danger. He's not the best guy. He's not the best with us. But he is our master, and he is in danger. So I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever had that boss that's, like, really bad, and everyone speaks about him? He's like, hey, I can't stand that guy. He's always like this, and he's always, like, micromanaging me all the time. But if his job was in jeopardy, and it would be in your hands to save him, would you save him? Would you be like, okay, let me just save him because he's my boss. I mean, I want to help. I want to be the difference. Or would you be like, nope, he got it. He did all the wrong things. He shouldn't be there. He's a bad boss. No, we see here that first they go like, we have to understand that their lives was in danger. So David was not only going to kill Nabal, he was going to kill all his household. So their life was in danger. And we don't see them approaching Abigail. They're like, hey, David is going to kill all of us. Like, please go do something. No, the first thing they say is, our master is in danger. That when I read that, I was like, are you serious, guys? Like, you have the worst master, and you guys are worried about him? It's like, wow, it's not even only Abigail, it's his servants. They were good servants. So I think it's like a really good calling for us to also be good servants. It's like, because you have to understand that every single person that's in your life, and no matter, like, what position he has in your life, it's because God has allowed him to be there. They had this servant of Nabal because God allowed him to be their master. So everyone that's in your life, your boss is your boss because God put them there. Even if they're not believers. Everything is put by God. So it's a really important message in that part. Now let's read verse 23. Again. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. Notice how Abigail greets him with great respect. Respect only deserved by a king. So in this part, you understand that Abigail knew who David was. So maybe Nabal even knew who he was. He just didn't want to recognize him. As I said, he was maybe a Saul supporter in this part. So it's really amazing. And in that part, like, I'm pretty sure David was like, what? Like, what happened? Why are you on the floor? So let's read now verse 24 and 25. It says, when Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and Foley is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young man of my Lord, whom you sent. This part really impacted me. And I'm going to show you why. We see here that at the beginning, she just falls to the ground, and she takes the guilt of her husband. Have you ever taken the guilt of someone else? When I made this question to myself, I was like, have I ever taken the guilt of someone? Or have I only, like, given the guilt, of my guilt to someone? It's like, hey, it wasn't my fault because she did this. She didn't do this, so that's why I couldn't do this. So it's like, it's really easy to do, and a lot of people do that. I'm pretty sure everyone has done that. Come on, don't make me feel bad, especially if you have brothers. If you have brothers, you understand me. It's like, no, it was him. He started it. So we were three brothers. You can imagine that. It's like, no, it was never your fault. So in this part, Abigail was like, hey, it's my fault. I'm sorry. And then I was like, wow. And then the next part, she's like, don't even listen to him. Don't waste your time. Don't get even with him. It's like, and it's really important, this part. Would you want to get even with someone you don't like? Would you want to be even to that person? Or would you want to be different? If you don't like them, why would you want to get even with them? So it's really important. And once I did a little bit more research on this one, because what came to my head was Proverbs 15:1-7. And let me read it to you. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, Abigail. But a harsh word stirs up anger, Nabal. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, Abigail. But the mouth of the fool gushes folly. She even uses the word, same word, folly, as over here. The eye of the Lord are everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, Abigail. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit, Nabal. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, Abigail, but the hearts of the fool are not upright. So we see this in Proverbs. Who wrote Proverbs? Who is Solomon's dad? David. Who was David married to later on? Abigail. And you see, I was getting into this, and I was telling my wife, like, doesn't it sound like at some point Solomon heard the story from his dad, like, hey, you know what? I was married to Abigail, and this happened once. And maybe Solomon got the knowledge from there. I was like, wow. Because he sees so much wisdom in this woman. It's like, it so relates to it, to the other story. It's incredible. It was amazing. I was like, wow. Like, maybe this saved David from telling a different story. Can you imagine Abigail wouldn't have intervened? He would totally be telling a different story to his son. So it's really impactful how she treats herself like a servant. She falls to his feet, like, considering David better than herself. And don't we see that? She was, like, way ahead. Don't we see that Jesus saying this to us? Treat others better than yourselves. Let's read in Philippians 2, 1-3. Let me just open it really quick. So it says,
so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love and participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one of mind. Do not from selfish ambition or consent, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
So we see here that she was way ahead of her time. We see here they were under the law. You have to remember that they were under the law. So when David said, let's go kill all those guys, I'm pretty sure all the people that were with David was like, yeah, I mean, the law is with us, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It was the right thing to do. But Abigail was way ahead of her time. She was already teaching us what Jesus would do further on. It's like, no, don't do that. Be the difference. So now let's read verse 26.
Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal.
This is a lot of woman knowledge. And everyone who's married will give me the, you will say I'm right. Have you ever, so right in this part, David hasn't said anything. He's just looking at her, and she's already, you're not going to do this. And he's like, have you been like at Walmart or Target and watching for TVs? Like, I want that 65-inch TV. And then your wife further on, he's like, so since we're not going to buy the TV, can we buy this? I'm like, but I said I liked it. I never said I was not going to buy it. Or your mom is like, hey, I like that. I want that. It's like, no, you're not going to get that. And here it's like that same woman wisdom. It's like, hey, you're not going to do this. You're not going to go and kill Nabal because I am going to convince you otherwise. And further on, we see how much knowledge she throws at, how much wisdom she just throws at David. And David's like, and Nabal's like, okay, what am I going to do? So let's read the next verse. Verse 32 to 35. Okay. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, because of the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand. Now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. So we see it in this part. It's crazy how she's not only she's not only like taking care of her husband, like for him not to get killed. She's also telling him, like, hey, I'm taking care of you. You're going to be a king someday. What story do you want to tell? And I'm pretty sure, like, everyone that has a mom, that's had a mom or a wife, it's like, what are you doing? Like, are you sure about doing that? To give you a different perspective most of the time. And it's mostly not your dad. Because your dad is really impulsive, like sometimes men are. Like, yeah, just do it. Just do it, man. Yeah. See where it takes you to. But the woman's like, no, why would you do that? I don't know, it's something about woman's heart that gives you a different perspective in every single thing. So basically she tells him, like, hey, you would be doing a huge wrong if you would do this. She recognizes the plan for David. Have in mind this, that Nabal never recognizes, like, who is this David, son of Jesse? But in this part, what does she say?
Lord, an evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. But also before that, when you become a king.